with Bob Zimmerman, my longtime good colleague and the author of The Story of Apollo 8, Genesis, the first manned flight to another world. It is January 1967. Apollo 1 is on the launch pad being checked out by three senior astronauts. And then, Bob, this catastrophe is easy to remember for all of us who were watching at the time, because it was a blow to NASA. It was a blow that had not been expected. They weren't actually blasting off. What happened, Bob, in Apollo 1?
It's interesting, John, but this was a case where they were not careful. And that's why the failure happened. This was a launch pad dress rehearsal countdown. The three astronauts, Gus Grissom, the commander, Ed White, who was also an experienced astronaut, he had done the first American spacewalk, and Roger Chaffee, who had never flown in space before. These guys were in the capsule in their spacesuits, and they were doing with Mission Control the equivalent of a dress rehearsal countdown, preparing for the first Apollo mission, unmanned mission in orbit, hopefully in 67. And at some point, there was a spark in the capsule, and within less than a minute and a half, those three men burned to death, suffocated mostly because the oxygen burned, and the heat killed them as well as the lack of oxygen. They were dead within 75 seconds. And at that moment in time, there was a sudden wake up at NASA that there's a problem. We did something wrong. Something was significantly wrong here. And they actually put Frank Borman in charge. He was one of the astronauts, one of the more experienced astronauts at NASA. They put him in charge of the investigation from the astronauts' perspective because they knew he would make sure that they would be honest and go and look and see what they did wrong. And as he said at congressional hearings after the investigation, we got careless. We didn't think. They did several things. One, they were using a pure oxygen atmosphere, which is extremely flammable, but they did not make sure everything in the capsule couldn't burn. There were flammable things in there. They didn't make sure the electricity sparks wouldn't happen. They also designed the hatch so that the only way the hatch could be opened was by people on the outside with a wrench releasing lug nuts. Once the astronauts were inside, they could not get out. They looked at all these things and said, we need to do some major fixes. And so that took up most of 67 and into 68, fixing the Apollo capsule so that it would work and be safe. They made it so the hatch could be opened by a simple lever on the inside of the capsule. Not so easy that they accidentally open it, but easy enough that they could open it almost instantaneously. They made sure that nothing inside the capsule was flammable, and they changed the atmosphere so that it wouldn't be pure oxygen and therefore reduce the risk with flammable fire.
The way you reported, Bob, and my memory is vivid about this, it was a blow not only to the United States, but to NASA itself. They'd never had anything. I think they'd had one astronaut die in a plane crash, but they'd not lost anybody before. And these were popular figures in NASA, these three men.
For NASA itself, and this is why they got careless, this is what Borman said, we had been so successful before that we started to get lazy. We didn't look at what we were doing closely. Hubris. It's a fault of human nature. You've got to constantly question yourself, especially when it comes to engineering. And they got careless. And it was a blow to them, but it was a positive blow because they did the thing you must do when you make a mistake. You admit error. You're open about admitting the error. You tell yourself and everyone what the error was, and then you fix it. And this is an honesty that this differentiates NASA then with today. There was no problem at NASA fixing this problem. There was no argument. NASA ran the investigation. They didn't need Congress to tell them you're not looking closely as they did after the shuttle mission. They knew immediately they had to fix the problem themselves. It was a positive blow for NASA because it got them. It's one of the reasons when they decided to send Apollo 8 to the moon, they were very careful reviewing everything that needed to be done to make sure this mission would be safe.
Let's go to Roscosmos, right, because Roscosmos is in the race. A cosmonaut named Komarov. This is Soyuz 1, the first time they've manned it. It can handle two or three people, but this is one pilot. However, I learned from you that there were major distinctions between how Roscosmos ran its manned program and NASA ran theirs. Komarov was a passenger. He was not a pilot. What happened, Bob?
It's interesting. On the first Soyuz launch, they were rushing, just like we were, to get this Soyuz launch so they could start to plan for the Zond missions using the Soyuz capsule. But they rushed things. And so Komarov gets into orbit. He has continual orientation problems, not physical, but he can't orient the capsule properly. His constant problems. He was going to be in orbit for a day or so, but the problems continue to pile up. So they decided to abort the mission early. He would deorbit and come back to splash down in the ocean and come back. Not splash down, sorry, they landed on the ground. He would come back to the Soviet Union early. But in the coming, in the descent, his parachute cables got tangled. And so the parachutes didn't open. And so he hit the ground at like 500 miles an hour and died instantly when he hit the ground. And so they had a major failure almost the exact same time. It was, I think, April of 67 when this occurred.
Yes, April of 67.
And so they were now in the same boat we were. And in fact, they responded the same way NASA did. They got to be much more careful. They cannot be rushing. They've got to make sure they've got things right. The one difference between them and the Americans in this matter is that the Russians actually became, because it's a top-down bureaucratic society, no one wants to take a risk and get blamed. And so they actually put on much more restrictive rules on what they would do. For example, no manned mission would occur until an unmanned mission was 100% successful. And what we did not know is that the Zond missions were not 100% successful. So that early manned circumlunar mission with the Zond would not happen. But we didn't know that. And they were just a little more conservative than we were at this time. And that's the difference between why no Zond manned mission happened and Apollo 8 did happen.
The original thinking at Roscosmos and at NASA was we were going to get to the moon in 1967. Is that correct, Bob?
They were both, when once Kennedy set the target by the end of this decade, both were rushing to get it done as quickly as possible. They were rushing. And the schedules for both said they could possibly, America especially, could possibly have gotten it done in 68 if Apollo 1 hadn't happened. With the Russians, it's kind of similar. If they didn't have a disaster, they could have possibly gotten it done in 68 as well. We both had a problem, so we both pushed into the 68 time frame, moving into 69.
All right, let's meet the crew. Bob's Zimmerman, his book is Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, the first manned flight to another world. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Madden.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.